All right, everybody, on this episode of the No BS Podcast, we're going to break down the Atlantic Division Conference of the NBA as the NBA officially starts off today. The games have officially started. So what we're going to do is each episode, we're going to break down a particular division of each conference. And I'm going to tell you my breakdown of each team, and then I'm going to tell you who I think is going to win ultimately in the division. So this week, in this particular episode, we're going to break down the Atlantic Division. In the Eastern Conference. So those teams are the Brooklyn Nets, Philadelphia 76ers, the Boston Celtics, the Toronto Raptors, and the New York Knicks. So let's start off with the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously, that's probably the team that's made the most headlines in the offseason. Well, I guess it's really hard to say in offseason since, you know, the last year's season drug on so off, you know, so far with the bubble and the pandemic and whatnot. But obviously, the big news there is, you know, you have the two superstars in Kyrie and also Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant coming back from his injury. If you watched any of the preseason, he looks like he's back to a regular old Kevin Durant. And then obviously, opening night last night against the Warriors, he looked pretty well, pretty damn good. Looks like regular OKD. He was my pick to win this upcoming MVP. And after watching last night's game, I kind of stand by that. He looks great. Kyrie Irving, he looked great too. But, you know, Kyrie, not, I mean, other than being, of course, he's had his injury bugs over the last few years. But really, the only thing when you think of Kyrie that you're worried about is not necessarily his performance and his contributions on the court. It's things that he says off the court or to the media. You know, he tends to get himself in the news for the wrong reasons. You know, obviously he got out of Cleveland, you know, not in the best way possible. Then he goes to Boston. You can make the case that, you know, the team was better without him. You know, they made it to, damn near made it to the finals without Kyrie. And then you had Kyrie was limited with the Brooklyn Nets last year, and then in the bubble he didn't play at all, and that team looked really good without him. So I mean, you know, and then obviously Kyrie's already been in the news for, you know, his stance and not talking to the media, you know, so he's, you know, he just says a lot of boneheaded things, a lot of head scratching things. And so, but, you know, off the court and media aside, when it comes to his performance on the floor when he's healthy, Kyrie Irving is, you know, a top 10 player in this league. So now you have for sure one top 10 player in the league in Kevin Durant, and then you have Kyrie Irving, who's debatable. It could, you know, you could fill him in there, or, you know, he's at least top 15, top 20. No one can debate that. So you have two of the top 20 players in the league, in a team that's already pretty deep, you know, with Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, Allen, you know, it just – the long list of talent they have on that team, you know, I fully expect them to win this division easily. And they're obviously going to be up there fighting with Milwaukee as far as one of the top teams in the East overall. So, you know, I say, you know, like I said, Brooklyn's going to probably win this division pretty easily. So I say they win anywhere between 50, 55 games. Like I said, competing with teams like Milwaukee in that top spot in the East. Breaking down who I think is going to finish next below them, I'd probably say the Philadelphia 76ers. Obviously, they got a new coach now, which that'll be interesting to see if, you know, having Doc Rivers as a coach now, what that means to them. As far as to take that next step, they also had some key additions as far as Seth Curry, Danny Green, Dwight Howard. You know, I don't know how much necessarily Dwight Howard will make a contribution. I can see Seth Curry and Danny Green making, you know, considerable difference in the lineup, but outside of that, I think maybe the biggest addition is just their, you know, the new coach and Doc Rivers. But as always, the biggest question, as it seems to be every year, is either the health of Embiid. And then also whether or not, you know, you have, whether you're going to have Ben Simmons take that next step. It seems like that's a question every single year. Is this the year that Ben Simmons develops a jump shot? If you ask me, I mean, he doesn't. I mean, I've never been high on Ben Simmons. I'm continually going into this year not being high on him. I just think he's overrated, but that's just me. I know a lot of people will say I'm crazy to say that, but that's my opinion. But I think the Philadelphia 76ers, I think they're going to be a lot better than they were last year. I still don't think they're going to take that next step. I mean, I still think they're still going to be anywhere between the 4 to 6 range as far as the East overall, but I don't expect a deep playoff run with them. I mean, just like I said, the addition to Doc Rivers to me doesn't mean anything. Especially when he had more talent in the with the Clippers last year, and we all know what happened there. So, but and then I was always that, with James Harden, there's always that, those rumors that maybe at the end of the year that maybe James Harden ends up in Philadelphia. So what would that mean for someone like a Ben Simmons? Would they swap them? Would they have to give up some other key players like Tobias Harris potentially? I don't know anything about that. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast for a whole nother day. But as this team is constructed now, I totally expect this team to finish second in this conference, or I'm sorry, in this division, and around that 4 to 6 overall in the East. But like I said, I don't really have that high of expectations for them. Moving on to who I think is going to finish third in this division, and that's the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics, I played very well in the bubble last year. They have their superstar in the making in Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. They have some key additions in Jeff Teague, and Tristan Thompson, I think, might, show some good for them. They did lose, however, Gordon Hayward, which some of the Boston Celtics fans that I know said they don't really worry about that. I would say the biggest question with them would have to probably be Kemba Walker. He's battling that injury. It's been reported he's not going to return until at least January, mid end of January. So there are a lot of people that are maybe just worried that maybe Dwight, or sorry, not Dwight, but Kemba Walker might be kind of on the downside of his career already with injuries. I'm not saying I necessarily believe that, but there are a lot of people that fear that maybe this is it for him. So we'll see. But I don't. I mean, I could easily see the Boston Celtics easily making a run in the East. I mean, I think they're going to be a top five team in in the Eastern Conference. But we'll see. The East is a lot more tougher this year. And then not only that, but just sticking within the division, what we're breaking down. You have two potential juggernauts ahead of them. Like I said, I still don't think that no one touches Brooklyn, but I mean, I could definitely see them potentially making a run for that second to third spot easily. I don't see them falling shorter than third in this division. If you're a Boston Celtics fan, you have a reason to be optimistic. I said you have Jason Tatum, who's he's going to be a superstar in this league, potential league MVP one day, but we'll see what happens. But like I said, I think the biggest question behind them right now is Kemba Walker. So we'll see how quickly he gets back on the court and how effective he is once he is back on the court. Next, the Toronto Raptors, which right now they are playing the New Orleans Pelicans, and right now they're up 2 in the second quarter. For me, the Toronto Raptors is probably one of the funnest teams to watch. I started watching them a lot more whenever Kawhi there, but they have a lot of young talent. And Siakam, Siakam's one of my favorite players. He had a real breakout year whenever Kawhi was there. Yeah, Kyle Lowry, who was probably one of the more funner players to watch in the bubbles. He had a break. Man, he really played his ass off in the bubble. And so I think, in my opinion, Kyle Lowry kind of took that next step. In the bubble, he got a lot of respect. A lot of people are thinking maybe he's a top guy at his position. He definitely can. I would say they made some good key additions. They picked up Aron Baynes. That to me is a pretty good one. But they did lose Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol, and those are two big losses. But they still have that good core and Siakam and Lowry. They still have OG and Anunoby. They have Fred VanVleet, you know, some really good talent surrounding them too. So, I mean, I would not be surprised if mid season you have the Toronto Raptors battling for that top spot in the East, because I mean, Siakam, that dude's a beast. And then if Kyle Lowry keeps playing the way he was in the bubble, you know, I mean, like I said, I just wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't think that they're going to be an Eastern Conference representative, but I do think that they could easily make a run for the money for the Nets there. So, well, but yeah, so but I have overall probably the Toronto Raptors falling probably fourth overall in this division. But like I said, I would not be very shocked if they maybe finish somewhere in that second to third range. Moving on to the New York Knicks. I mean, I really don't have a lot of expectations for them. I don't even think Knicks fans have expectations for them. People are optimistic and excited about Obi Toppin, you know, their first round pick this year. So I mean, maybe, but their coach tends to not be able to. Well, I mean, they have Tom Thibodeau now, but overall, before Tom Thibodeau, they have a history of not really having any consistency when it comes to their starting lineup. But they have a lot of nice young talent, you know, with OB. I mean, they also, you know, they have Kevin Knox, Elfrid Payton, Austin Rivers, Dennis Smith Jr. You know, they have some nice talent. As far as additions, other than OB Toppin, they picked up Emmanuel Quickley, Alex Burke, Nerlens Noel, and Austin Rivers. So you know, I can see them helping them be a fun team to watch, but I still have no expectations for them. You know, they got rid of David Fizdale last year, who not shocked at all. Like he every it seemed like every game he would have a different lineup, and he just didn't have any idea what he was doing. But overall, I still think the Knicks are going to be the basement of this division, and they're probably going to be in the basement of the Eastern Conference overall. So, yeah, so like I said, my overall finishing order for this division is probably going to be Brooklyn, Philadelphia. I'm going to go Brooklyn, Toronto, Philadelphia, Boston, New York. It's going to be my prediction for this division. It's going to be a fun, like I said, this division is one of the more fun divisions in all of NBA. You know, there are a lot of great talent throughout this division. So I'll keep an eye on this division. But that is my prediction for the 2020-21 season for the Atlantic Division Conference or division.
How you know, man?